Hey there, and welcome to the Rock Reavers podcast. Here we're all about believing and proclaiming the word. We're totally given to true worship and obedient in taking the gospel to the nations through missions. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that you'll be blessed by this message.
Let's go. One, two, three. I am a winner. I am a not a loser. I am a victor and not a victim. I have changed my mind and my attitude to reflect what God says about me. My faith is built on God's word. I can do all that God says I can do. Nothing is impossible from this moment on, for I am a new breed, a new kind, a remnant, and I am after my purpose. I didn't have a teleprompter. You guys were reading there. So I'm the one who has it in my heart. Hallelujah. You can have your seats. In Jesus' precious name. Today we are not in the mood of warfare. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we come and Pastor Stan says, you know, today Jericho must come down. Lift up your voice and grab your neighbor's hand. That is not today. We are going to address some house matters by the grace of God. Praise the Lord. We are reading the book of Luke chapter 14. Verse 27, I prayed to the Holy Spirit that he will allow me to speak. We have preached in places where there are so many inefficiencies, and so we normally cover up for that by moving up and down or by shouting or by having a face towel even before you begin sweating. But now when you come to the national altar, there is so much efficiency that you just need to stand in one place and speak. And that's what I'm going to do today. Glory to God. We removed that wooden pulpit because it is for fathers. It is not for national altar. National altar, this thing, how much is this? $1,000? Yes, we will find out. This is how it looks like on TBN. Praise the Lord. Yes. You're wondering what's happening to your pastor today. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 14, verse 27. So I'll just speak a few things, and then we will pray, the Lord helping us to apply this word in our lives. So we are going to read three scriptures. The first one is Luke chapter 14, verse 27 to 33. And the second one is Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. And the last one will be Mark chapter 3, verse 13. This is not just a prayerful church, it is a teaching church. Praise the Lord. We need to be grounded in the word of God. Do we have it? Praise the Lord. Verse 27, Luke chapter 14, verse 27, the Bible says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 28, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Verse 29, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. 31. Glory to God. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Think that's it? Give us Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Do you have Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30? A common verse. Jesus is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. In the name of the Lord. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. Is it coming? All right, you're almost there. Give us 13. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came to him. Verse 14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The book of Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 tells us one of the most famous invitations of Jesus to the hearers of his day. And he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's talking to people who have fought and worked and tried and gone every place to make their life have a meaning. And sometimes what happens in life is that we become heavy laden because we are trying to make things to work. We are trying to make the marriage to work. We are trying to make the parenting to work. We are trying to make the business to work. You're trying to make the ministry to work. And sometimes what we think is a calling from God that he has bestowed upon us ends up giving us a lot of weight and burden, and life generally, even for the non-believer, is weighty and is heavy. And Jesus comes and says, are you heavy laden? Are you tired? Come unto me. Evangelists have used this scripture many times to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a good scripture for evangelism because people on earth are burdened with many things and they need a savior. They need somebody to offload the weight. They need somebody to rescue them from the problems and the challenges and the consequences of their own actions in the life of sin. And Jesus says, come unto me. And all of us who are seated here and are born again, at some point you heard the voice of God saying, come unto me. It could be, it was a weekend challenge in school. It may have been a weekend challenge in campus. It may have been a mission that you went. It doesn't matter where you got born again, but at some point you had the call to come to the Lord. This scripture that says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, is the one that triggers salvation in the life of a human being. Praise the Lord. I will land on my message shortly. Come unto me. The life of any human being in God begins with a response to this invitation. Come unto me. Jesus is calling you to himself. Glory to God. He's not calling you to the ministry. This is the call of salvation, and every person that is born again is called unto the Lord. Your first commitment at salvation is not to the ushering team, is not to the move, is not to the pastoral team, it is not to the discipleship group, it is not to the Sunday school, it is to Jesus Christ. Come unto me. He didn't say come to the synagogue now. He didn't say come to the temple. He didn't say come and join the 12. He said come unto me. And that is the point of salvation. Our life in Christ begins by responding to this call. Come unto me. Glory to God. And that is where we get saved. The reason why salvation is free, it's almost like an oxymoron. It is free, but it is not. Because it depends on who is talking. The one who is saved got salvation at no cost. But the one who saved, I don't have a church here. Hallelujah. It cost God his son for you to be saved. When he says, come unto me, it is not without a cost. He paid the price on the cross for my wife and I to be born again. For Pastor Kev and his wife to be born again. For Noel Mbaji to be born again. For Des and the sister Michelle to be born again. God paid the price. It was not free on the side of God. It is free for you. God paid something for you to be here today. Hallelujah. I want you to follow me closely. So your spiritual life begins with, come unto me. Aye. The problem with the church today is that we remain there. There are things that happen when you get saved. When you come to him, if you look at Ephesians chapter 1, Pastor Kev keeps saying that that's my favorite scripture. I have many of them. The Bible says that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we have it? Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. When you come to him, you become blessed. Hallelujah. In Christ, every person seated here is blessed. Praise the Lord. Look at it. What does it say? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. There is nobody who is seated here that is cursed now. No. Hallelujah. Because when you dive in the pool of necessity, you gotta get wet, baby. And when you are in Christ, there is the blessing of being in that position in Christ. This is one of the benefits of coming to him. And we like to remain there. Pastor Kev, oh, I am blessed of the Lord. Your neighbor who is an Indian is asking you, how are you? I say, oh, I'm blessed of the Lord Jesus Christ. We like to remain there. Look at the second thing. Other than being blessed, he says, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 4. What does he say? Glory to God. According as he has chosen us in him. So other than being blessed, you have been chosen in him, and that choosing was not an election. Glory to God. When you got born again, you became automatically chosen, and that is true. That is okay, but we like to remain at the place of I am blessed and I am chosen, because those are the things that happen automatically when you come to him. Look at the other thing that happened when he got born again. He says, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse number 5. Look at that. Another thing that happened when you came to him. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Other than being blessed and being chosen, you are also adopted in the family of God. Praise the Lord. And that is a true position when you got born again. When you come to him, you become blessed. When you come to him, you become chosen of God. When you come to him, you become adopted into the family of God. Look at it. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. When we come to him, we are blessed. We are chosen. We are adopted. And we are accepted in the beloved. And the church in Nairobi and Kenya today, we like to remain at that particular place. Praise the Lord. But when you dive into the pool, I will use that analogy, you don't dive into the pool to stay there, you dive into the pool to swim. Glory to God. There has to be a movement away from the come unto me. There has to be a movement from the blessing, from the choosing, from the adoption, from the acceptance. There has to be a movement. And so what happens? The spiritual life begins by come unto me. As you have seen in Matthew chapter 28, man of God, Pastor Stan. Now look at the book of Luke chapter number 14. Give us number 27. To show you, it is good to be blessed. It is good to be chosen. It is good to be adopted. It is good to be accepted. But we cannot be standing here every day just celebrating what God has done for us. What is God celebrating that you have done for him? I'm coming to you now because we have a problem of people who are only committed when it works for them. I'm coming to you now. It's only working when it's working for me. Glory to God. I'm only gonna come when I have time now. Jesus has done it all, so I don't need to do anything. And what happens is that we stay at the place of come unto me. But the same one who said, I'm not going to preach today, I'm going to talk. The same one who said, come unto me so that you get those four blessings in Ephesians 1. Look at his words. What does he say? And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me. Kaya dabai. There is a day of coming unto him. But you have to grow into the place of coming after him. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. We like remaining there. I am blessed. I am chosen. I am more than a conqueror. I am going to heaven. I am anointed of the Holy Spirit. I am called of God. And you are celebrating. Oh, glory to God. You paid for my salvation. You paid for my pain. You paid for me to be healed. Glory to God forever. It cost God for you to get into that position. There comes a time that it has to cost you. Yes. And I want to say at this point, people of God, it is costly to be a believer. Glory to God. And we need Pastor Kev to move from the place of being a believer to being a disciple. Because a believer responds to the come unto me, but a disciple responds to the come after me. There has to be a following. Praise the name of the Lord. Your Savior didn't save you so that he can give you massage until he comes back. It's going to be a difficult message now. Because we think God is going to do it for me. God is going to give it to me.
We'll be fine, don't worry. Are we back? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I use this one. Thank you. We are at home. Someone, Chester, please assist me. Just remove it. The editors will do a good job. worry, we are at home. All right, thank you. He's very wise. He didn't want you guys to see how we put it there. Hallelujah. Pastor Stan, the believer comes to him. But you can't remain there. The same one who said, come unto me, is the same one who is saying, come after. Because there is a place, Pastor Des, we are going. And what happens is we like remaining at the place of the blessing. I'm trusting God for a car. I'm trusting God for a husband. I'm trusting God for a breakthrough. That's not bad. Because all those are results of redemption. When Jesus paid the price, all those things became yours. It cost God for the come unto me to be a reality in your life. But it's gonna cost you for the come after me to be a reality on the side of God. Praise the Lord. So come unto me is salvation. Come after me is a call to a following, to discipleship. Hallelujah. It means that Jesus is walking and Paul is following and Timothy is following Paul. And Paul says, follow me even as I follow Christ. There has to be a leader and there has to be a follower. I remember one day we were looking at the book of Joshua here, people of God, and we say that the Ark of the Covenant was always ahead of the people of God. There is no single day that it was behind the people of God. There has to be a person that is leading and another one that is following. And the problem sometimes is that we like to lead God. Because of the arrogance of our position. Hallelujah. So instead of responding to come after me, we want God to be the one coming after us. Praise the Lord. Coming to my message. Come unto me is salvation. Come after me is a call to discipleship. Look at Mark chapter 3 verse 13. The scripture says that when he had come from the mountain, he called unto himself them that he would. He's still calling unto himself them that he would. Look at the reason why he called them. He goeth up to the mountain, of course, to pray, and calleth unto him whom he would, to show us that he was still in the business of calling those that he wanted or those that he had chosen. And they came unto him. They responded to the call. They became saved, if you like, in our context. They came to him. Verse 14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. He calls you so that you can be with him first. And then he can send you forth to preach. The explanation of being with him is not to live with him in the same house, is not to go with him to the same meeting. But being with him means that everywhere you go, he follows. Let me give you the context here. What would happen in the Hebrew culture, people of God, is that when Jesus was born, he was born in a context where the Hebrews or the Jews already had an education system or some sort of mentorship system. If you look at the Old Testament, especially the book of Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and so on, God had given instructions to Moses that this law should not just be known to you, but make sure you recite it to your children so that when they grow up, they will not depart from it. Praise the Lord. That is why the scripture would say things like, bring up a child in the ways he should go, that after he has grown up, he will not depart from it. That includes, if it was a Jew that is reading this, he would understand this as taking the five books of Moses and teaching the child the ways of God. The Hebrew education system had three things. Number one, this was targeting the children between the age of 4 and 6, and that was called the bet. Where do we have it? Give us number one. Do we have it? Ages 4 to 6. The school was called Beth Sefa. Beth means house. But the translation there is house of books. So between the age of 4 and 6, children would be taught the word of God at home. So the home was called the house of books, or the Beth Sefa or Sefa, depending on where you went to school. And they were taught to recite the laws of Moses. They were followers and drawers from their parents at home. That's 4 to 6. This is the context where Jesus was born. School number 2, from age 7 to age 12, was called the Beth Talmud. Beth is the house, like Bethlehem, house of bread. So Beth is the house of learning. So for 4 to 6 years, you have recited the word of God. Now from 7 to 12, you are learning. In other words, you are interpreting what you are reciting. I'm heading somewhere with this. Praise the Lord. So the house of learning, or the Beth Talmud. Then the last school is what? The Beth Midrash. The house of walking. So it is the books, then the learning, then the walking. 4 to 6, you are taught the Torah, the laws of Moses. 7 to 12, you are interpreting the law of Moses. Then from 13 to 30, you had to look for a rabbi or a teacher. You had to become a disciple of somebody that will take that which you read from the books and that which you learned from the books, and he begins to teach you how to walk that teaching in your life. So when Jesus was born, that is why you're going to see that when the parents had gone to Jerusalem, they went with Jesus when he was 12, and Jesus remained behind because he was the best in his class, the Beth Talmud. So he had to talk to the rabbis of the day, and they were shocked at his wisdom. At this particular age, he had even gone ahead. He was actually in the third class, which is the Beth Midrash. He was doing better than his age. Another scripture says that Jesus began ministry when he was 30, because it was required. From 4 to 6, you learn the books. From 7 to 12, from 4 to 6, you recite the books. From 7 to 12, you learn the books, the interpretation. Then from 13 all the way to 30, you are under a rabbi or a teacher or a master of the scriptures who would teach you how to apply the interpretations in your own life. And that was from 13 to 30. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So what happens there is that at the age of 30, it was required that you press repeat for what has happened in your life. It was mandatory for he that has gone to the three beds and is 30 to begin their own school. Remember that from 4 to 6, it was happening at home. Are you with me? Then from 7 to 12, it was happening at the synagogue. Then from 13 to 30, it was happening in the mission field. That's why Jesus went everywhere with his disciples, so that they could see his life and emulate it. See his actions and learn from it. Listen to his words and recite them. The idea of this manner of system was for the student to become like his master. Praise the Lord. So when he says, come unto me. And then he says, come after me. The Hebrews of the day understood what it means when a rabbi says, come after me. It meant four things. I want you to write down. Number one, for you to be a disciple of a rabbi, you needed to follow him everywhere he goes. There was no formal education system. This was the education system of the day. And you see, in the Hebrew culture, there was no secular and religious. It is Greeks that brought these things. In Hebrew life, life was one. That education was the education. It was not religious education. It was the education of the culture. It was everything. Praise God. So, for you to come after a rabbi, or to be a disciple is called a Talmid because he goes to the Talmud. It means follower. Number one, you had to follow the rabbi everywhere he goes. And this was happening in the last school, the Midrash. You didn't have the luxury of saying, I ain't gonna make it today. That would be equivalent to missing a chemistry paper in KCSE. Are you with me? It was mandatory. Your parents will wonder, why are you not with your rabbi? Why are you not in school? That is why when you read that scripture, it says any person that does not forsake everything is not worthy to be my disciple. Because how would you follow your rabbi everywhere and you are distracted by other things? It was impossible. So number one, you had to follow your teacher or your rabbi everywhere. Number two, you had to serve your rabbi. I say this will be a difficult message. That's why I'm taking my time. You had to serve. And by the way, Pastor Des, that tells you if Jesus began his ministry when he was 30, and if what I have said is anything to go by, it means that there is no disciple of Jesus that was above the age of 30. That's what it means. And only one of them was married, and Peter. The others were all single, by according to Jewish culture. And they were young. So the parents would ask, why are you home? You are supposed to be with your master or your teacher. There had to be a commitment of following the master every place he has gone to. Number two. What is number two? You had to serve. Every place Jesus went with his disciples, they were given roles. That's why when he's talking to the Samaritan woman, he sent them to the market to go and buy food. They couldn't say, who are you to send me? Huh? Mr. Arrogant Pastor. Huh? Am I your messenger? Me, I came to worship God, not to be sent to Quick Mart. Listen to me. I said, I'm coming home. You have to follow the rabbi. Number two, you have to serve the rabbi. Meaning that there's a task list and it is assigned. But because you have committed yourself to that teacher, it was almost a curriculum for you to serve the rabbi. That's why, hey, Pastor Louise, it's coming. It's coming. I am not a prophet or the son of a prophet. That is why there were women who are following Jesus and they served him with their resources. Pastor Stan, we need to reach this place where we know that part of the reasons for following Christ, it is not just following after him. It is following, but also it is serving him with the things that we have. That takes us to number three. Other than following him and other than serving him, they had to give to him. Yeah? You know, today we are not declaring and decreeing that there's a miracle in your office tomorrow. We have decreed that for a long time. They are to give. Following, serving, giving. And finally, did I say four or five? No, there are five. Sorry. I think I missed my midrash. Following, serving, giving. The fourth one, they had to imitate or emulate the teacher. There is something wrong with your parenting to your children. If your children turn out to be like the neighbor instead of being like you. Did you get that? There's something wrong. Because you are bringing the disciple up so that they can be like you. In other words, it is the responsibility of the follower, of the server, of the giver to emulate the person they are following. To imitate. Paul says, imitate me. Even as I... That is why if you go to a certain house, you know, I was talking to the first lady when Judah was misbehaving here, and he was saying, you know, you are catching feelings, but that is you. And I... No, is it you who said it or it's your... No, it's your husband who said it at some point. That is just you. Because a discipler produces their kind. Not just genetically, but even spiritually. So if you go to a certain house, you will find all the people praying in that house. They pray like the father of the house. It is abnormal when you are not like your father. You could be belonging to a neighbor. If you are not like the culture of the house, then you belong to another culture. Am I speaking to somebody? Hallelujah. So if Rivers is a praying church, it cannot be that we are not a praying person. I'm coming home now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If the pastors go for missions, it can't be that you only go for missions when you have time. We also don't have time. Hallelujah. Oh, come for prayers. Oh, no, I can't come because my back is aching. Your back is aching only the days you are supposed to show your commitment. Tell your boss your back is aching. The housing levy will be doubled. Am I speaking? Hallelujah. You had to imitate your discipler. You must become like the person that is teaching you and the person that is raising you and the person that you're following. And what God has done, he has put order so that in every house there is a servant of God. And as he follows Christ, we ought to follow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know you follow Christ directly, but also it is apostolic to follow somebody who is following Christ. Say, amen, atakama inauma. I can't follow a man. Oh, you are out of the scriptures. Unless you are reading another Bible. Praise the Lord. Paul was clear. Follow me as I follow. And he had the confidence that he's following Christ. We should only have a problem if the person that is telling us to follow him is not following. There must be order in the house of God. Hallelujah. So, number one, follower. Number two, number three? Number four? Say, my imitate. You know, people with degrees, they think that when you are saying imitate, that now they are losing their academic credibility. Listen to me. Imitation. Hallelujah. That is why when Peter and John had gone to the temple and they healed somebody and they were arrested, they told them, why are you preaching in this name? When they began to speak, they said, These people, they look unlearned and uneducated, but they took note that they had been with. They became exactly like their teacher, who was a rebel, according to the Sanhedrin. Because he said everything they didn't want to hear, and he did everything they didn't want to see. Praise God. Number five, other than following and serving and giving and emulating, you had to raise your own disciples. Listen to me, church. We are getting into a season, and I know Pastor Stan and Pastor Kev will come next week up to the end of October to bring us into this new season. We must reach a place where our service to God is not just attending church and not just singing in the choir. We will demand to see, where are your disciples? You see, now people are afraid. Who is becoming like you? What are you producing? Praise God. I say today there is no decreeing, and the Jericho wall fell and you took your strength back and you are designed for the giant. Now it is time for following. Hallelujah. Where are your disciples? Oh, man of God, you know, I'm following Christ. I am giving to the church. You know, I am serving in the worship team. You know, I am trying to preach like my pastor. But where are your disciples? Michelle, in 12 months, we will want to see who are the 12 behind you. Hallelujah. There has to be responsibility to those that have responded to come and after me. Coming after me means you follow. Imagine, for 3.5 years, he produced exactly like himself. 3.5 years. Some of us have been born again for 15 years. There is nothing behind us other than our shadow in the morning when the sun is on the east. Some of us have been born again for 20 years. There is nothing behind us other than an empty wallet in our pocket. What is behind you? Who is behind you? Who are you raising? Who are you mentoring? Who are you calling out? Who are you meeting? You can meet people watching football every Friday, but instead of having your Bible study with your disciples in your house, listen to me. Those that have been called to be disciples, much will be demanded of them. It's not massage parlor, oh. Hallelujah. Where we say a big amen. You must raise somebody. And Pastor Stan will come with the demands. Who are your 12? Who are your people? You know, they came to Jesus and they said, the disciples of John the Baptist, they fast. The disciples of the Pharisees, each person had somebody that they are leading. But where you are just following. All the days of your life, you are just a follower. You're out of order. Because the follower must be followed. And listen, Jesus went to look for the disciples. They didn't come to him. They came to him at the time of salvation. Yeah, but when it comes to come after me, he went, listen, where? You know, you guys, you come here and then you give me pressure to finish quickly. I'm not finishing. Where musieke hii kwa video. Ebu give us Mark chapter 1. Man of God, I'm trusting God to give me people to follow me. Where? Hallelujah. Give us Mark chapter 1. I'll give you the verse. After Jesus was 30, he had done his Sefer, he had done his Talmud, he had done his Midrash. Now he had become a rabbi. He had grown through the years. He went to look for his disciples. Let me give you the verse. Where is it? Hey, this man is, who is that? You are being led of the Spirit. You know the verse, eh? And Jesus said unto them, let me see. No, give us 16. You are still led of the Spirit. Go up there a little bit. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. These guys were in their office. They were running a fisheries company. They were minding their business. But because Jesus had done his three curriculum and he had become at the age, it was the age of 30. He knew it is my time to show where is my fruit. And he went to the marketplace, people of God, to raise disciples for himself. Hallelujah. He didn't raise disciples from the synagogue. He went where? Same marketplace. Listen, this church will grow when we bring disciples from outside. Don't come and say, Pastor Doc said I should have a disciple. Chesa, can you be my disciple? You are fishing from the boat. But there to koradae nyumba sana. We have to go where? Say my marketplace. I say today I'm not declaring, I am teaching. That's normally says that you want to pass about mpasho ndo hiyo. Hallelujah. Come ye after me, and I will make you become. He went to the marketplace. He went to KICC. He went to the address. He went to TRM. He went to Safaricom. He went to KCB and said, I want you to follow me. Do you know why people don't have confidence of telling people to follow after them? Because they know they're not following after Christ. And you'll be discovered shortly, yo. Because remember, the disciple must become like. Yeah, there are things in your life that you would not like to reproduce. That's why you are afraid of having anybody following you. Because the accountability will be greater. Hallelujah. He went to look for his disciples. I'm trusting God for proteges and mentees. You're out of the scriptures. The discipler, after he has become like his teacher, must go and look for his disciples. You know, you are thinking I'm driving this point on. Wait until the pastor comes next week. I saw his notes when he was paying for a bill. It's heavier than what I am saying. Praise the Lord. You must follow, you must serve, you must give, you must imitate, but also you must raise your own. Praise God. How many are people in this row? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. If each of you has 12 disciples, this seat will be full. We have not even come this side. The reason there's an empty seat next to you is because you've been born again for long and you stop at number 4. Number 5, you are waiting on God. Man of God, you know we are a prayerful team. Come to me, salvation. Come after me, discipleship, where you are following. But the reason why you come unto me, then you come after me, is so that you can come for them. So, come unto me, salvation. Come after me, salvation, discipleship, moving forward. Come for them is people following you. That is why in Matthew 28, give us verse 19. That is where the come for them is. Because Jesus did his three classes like I showed you for 3.5 years. Look at what he says when he's going up. Do we have NIV? Kindly, thank you so much. So Matthew 11:28, come unto me. Luke 14:27, come after me. But what about Matthew 28:19? Go ye therefore, give us NIV. Do we have it? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. This was not a call to the church. It was a call to the 500 individuals that experienced the resurrection of Christ. Paul says there were 500. Luke says that the day of Pentecost, there were 120. I don't know where 380 went. He told each of them, go and make disciples. That's number five. You have been with me. You have followed me. You have served me. You have given me. You have imitated me. Prove it by reproducing me in the life of others. Hallelujah. Say my amen. Rudy Nyuma. Go and make disciples of all nations. This is not for Pastor Kev or Pastor Stan or Pastor Doc or Pastor Des. It is for you who is listening to me. There has to be something that is inconvenient in your spiritual walk. Hallelujah. What price are you paying for following the Lord? At some point, man of God, Peter said, we have left everything to follow you, man. What are we going to get? There has to come a time when you feel like complaining because you have given your all to the one who gave it all for you. But we want easy life. We want. It's only working if it's working for me. It's not working for me. I don't want it. We have a church that has no sacrifice. And a church that has no commitment. And I'm talking about the universal body of Christ. Addicted and committed only when it works to convenience. When it is not convenient, I'm not there. These men of God that I told to stand here, they have paid a great price. Some of them never even believed that they would be pastors, including myself. It's the most inconvenient thing that has ever happened to me. And I'm praying God for grace every day. Second Samuel chapter 24, verse 24. You have been blessed. You have been chosen. You have been adopted. You have been accepted. You have to move from there to 2 Samuel 24, 24. Do we have it? 24. Give us 24. Look at the words of the greatest king of Israel. But the king replied to Arauna, no, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. If it does not cost you, then it is not it. If it doesn't cost you, if there is no pain, if there is no pinch, if there is no inconvenience, then it is not it. There has to be a cost for following the Lord. What's the cost? Two things. Jesus said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, number one, he must deny himself. Number two, he must carry his cross daily. And number three, he must follow. Mambo ni mangapi? Mambo ni mangapi? Usiseme matatu. Hallelujah. Number one, you must deny. Can I tell you, Pastor Des, your biggest enemy is not Satan. It is you. It is you who disobey God. It is you who is with yourself. It is you who takes yourself to places you are not supposed to go. The devil has never requested an Uber for you. Ati Uber ilikamu naenda sherehe. Ah, yon kutubeba ufala. Huh? Yes, you're laughing. The devil has no Uber. It is you who take yourself. That's why Jesus is saying the cost of discipleship, people of God, is denial of self. It means you have to deny yourself the things that your fallen nature wants. It is inconvenient when people are going to places of pleasure and you are told to remain at the place of purpose. It is inconvenient. You look like you are a misfit. The girls are even told, come, we will pay the bills for you. I am a pastor, oh. Hallelujah. Wait, you say me amen. It must cost you, Louise. And the first cost is you have to deny self. Not to deny yourself at kujikata. Ni kujinyima. You have to deny? Eh. So when it is time to pray and you don't feel like praying, that is the time to pray. We have a lazy church of people who pray when they feel it. And feelings are temporary and transient. We only give when we have it. You will never have it. This king said, I am the king. Aruna, I can take, but I am not taking something that will not cost me. What is it costing you? What's the count of your cost? Deny self. That's number one. Number two, you have to carry yourself, carry your cross daily, and number three, follow me. You have to carry your cross. Nobody will kill the flesh for you. The reason you carry your cross is so that you can be crucified on it. You have to take yourself to the place of your death. The pastor will not tell you to crucify the flesh. I have my own cross, baby. I'm not carrying a second one. And he said daily, the cost of discipleship is denying self. Number two is daily death. And number three is to committedly follow him. For this church to grow, mambo ni matatu. Praise the Lord. It can't be we're just there. You know, we love the move. And we love Pastor Stan. And we love the screens. Where are your disciples? We have to move from come unto me to come after me, so that we can tell others in future also to come after us. Let me give you one last scripture. You can rise on your feet. Glory to God. Hebrews 12:1-2. Hebrews 12:1-2. Do we have it? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Number two, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen to me. The cross is not a toy. It's not for entertainment. He endured the cross. It was a weighty affair, carrying the cross to Calvary. Then when he reached Calvary, it was a public place. It was an intersection. And he had to be crucified publicly. He had to be crucified naked. And he had to be flogged before he was crucified. Listen to me. Carrying the cross and being crucified on it is not the best experience of your life. But it is the cost of following the Lord. Hallelujah. He says here, he endured the cross, despising its shame. There are things you will have to endure, and one of them is the inconveniences of being a believer. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Things don't have to work for you all the time. I'm coming home now. Praise the Lord. Things don't have to happen. Some people, some of us, we are only happy when things are working. We only come to church. We are only serving when I'm feeling good, when I've been paid, when my contract has been signed, when I have a job. When all those things are not there, there is no commitment from me. You need to grow up from there. So that you say, though he slay me, yet I am going to trust him. I will come to church even if I don't feel like. Hallelujah. I will serve even if I don't like the team. Hallelujah. You don't have to like Pastor Doc, but you have to sing. Even if you don't, you have no option. I'm talking to you. You're looking. Praise God. We were not called to like each other. We were called to love one another. And love is unconditional. Liking, you don't have to like me. Praise the Lord. It is the cost of your calling. If it is not costing you, then it is not a calling to Jesus. It has to cost you. And I want to pray for many of us here that you are going to defeat yourself. A person that can defeat the devil is one that has wrestled himself to the ground. You have to wrestle yourself to the ground. When you don't feel like praying, wake up and pray. I believe God, this Friday we will have the biggest prayer meeting in this church. Somebody must endure the traffic to church. What cost are you paying? It cost God to save you. It will cost you to remain with him. I'm telling you the truth. We can't raise a church of people who are addicted to convenience. Look, people are being told, come, this will be given. That will. What are you giving? What are you giving? Where are you serving? Where's your fingerprint? We have the national altar. Where is your hand in the national altar? You are not standing on it. The light that is mulikaing the altar, you have nothing to do with it. Let me, you know, I can preach and then I'll get an email. Let me tell you. It must cost you. Somebody say it must cost me. Hallelujah. If this was PMCC, I would have been tougher. Because we only like the marriage when it is working. Yeah. Slight inconvenience that you are sleeping in there. In the kitchen, the other one is sleeping in the pantry. I am not going to pray for that marriage. Happen impartial proper. Hallelujah. There has to be a cost to your walk. And I want to pray today in the name of the Lord. And that is the prayer I want you to make. Lord, help me to defeat myself. You have to beat yourself to the ground. Hallelujah. You have to be committed. The move, you have to be committed. Nobody has time. Do you have time? Do you have 36 hours in a day? Yeah, but you are here this morning. Praise the Lord. Bassist, we have to be committed. It is the cost. Count your cost today, church. What have you paid for your salvation? Listen to me. God paid for you to be saved, and you have to pay back by serving him. Say amen. You must give your life to the one who gave his life for you. So I'm expecting more Sunday school teachers. And I'm expecting more ushers. Say a big amen. I'm expecting a bigger media team. Glory to God. I'm expecting a missions team for the high schools. I'm expecting women arising to go to Langata Women's Prison. What are you paying? What's the cost? Lift up your voice and say, Lord, help me to overcome myself. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Pray that you are going to overcome self, that you will walk in the Spirit so that you don't gratify the desires of the flesh. In Jesus' name. Now you're praying for yourself. Say, Lord, I overcome myself. I overcome my flesh. I overcome my inconveniences. I am done with the excuses. I am done with the reasons. Lord, I am going to pay the price. I am going to commit myself to the work. I am going to commit myself to the house. I am counting my cost in this prayer. There are places I have missed. I have given excuses every day. I am waiting for a windfall for me to give. I am waiting for time for me to serve. I am waiting to be tapped for me to show up. I am waiting to be called for me to come to the meeting. Lord, today I defeat myself and I give myself to you. Use me as you want. Use my hands. Use my voice. Use my mind. Use my skills in the house of God, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for sticking in to the end. We hope you are blessed by this message. Follow us for more of these messages when new episodes drop, and make sure to rate us so that more people can find out about us. Bye-bye.